It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Bicker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the hour, we'll hear how Wisconsin is leading the way when it comes to apprenticeship programs.
First, we're joined by Dr. Robert Lustig. He's a pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco, and a crusader against sugar.
Since he published his first bestseller, Fat Chance, he's been an outspoken critic of processed foods and food companies, which he says add sugars and simple carbs to the majority of the food we buy at the grocery store.
He says that the problem with processed foods is not just that they lead to obesity, but that they can also lead to things like metabolic diseases, heart disease, and cancer, things that 40% of normal weight Americans suffer from.
Robert Lustig, along with chef Cindy Gershon, published a new cookbook, The Fat Chance Cookbook, with tips and recipes on how to avoid sugars and still eat tasty food. We'll be giving away a copy of this cookbook with any pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge and get your copy right off the bat. Dr. Lustig, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much, Av. I'm always happy to be back in Madison. I was a faculty member at UW for 5 years.
That's right. I remember hearing that last time you were on. Somebody had mentioned that to us. Well, you refer to our modern diet here in the U.S. as the global industrial diet. What does that look like?
Well, what it looks like is all the fiber stripped away for convenience, shelf life, and depreciation, and sugar and simple carbohydrate added because, number one, it's cheap, number two, it's tasty, and number three, it gets you to purchase more. So it is a never-ending process of consumption, and now, unfortunately, we know disease as well.
Now let's talk about that disease factor a little bit. You stress that obesity isn't the only problem. What else do you see as being part of this picture?
Well, here's the problem, Veronica. Everyone assumes that the health care crisis is due to obesity. 30% of obese people, 30% of Americans are obese, and 80% of those 30% have metabolic illnesses of various sorts, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, lipid problems, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and dementia. And so it's assumed that the 80% of 30%, which adds up to 57 million people, it's them who are breaking the bank. Everyone assumes they are the problem, and if they would only just diet and exercise, we could solve this problem. Number one, this is pejorative, saying it's only about obesity. Number two, it ain't true. It turns out that if 80% of obese people have metabolic illness, that means 20% of obese people are metabolically healthy. They will live a completely normal life, diet a completely normal age, not cost the taxpayer a dime. They're just fat. Conversely, 40% of the normal weight population have the exact same metabolic diseases as do the obese. When you look at their blood panels, they have the same issues. They have hypertriglyceridemia, insulin resistance, cytokines coming from their visceral fat, and they have the same diseases, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, lipid problems, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and dementia, at a slightly lower rate. But when you do the math, it turns out there are more of them than there are sick obese. So when you add the normal weight sick people and the obese sick people together, it's more than half the U.S. population.
So
in other words, it's a public health crisis.
So what is it about the food that's out there that we buy, that we eat, that is contributing to so many of us having these metabolic diseases?
Exactly. That's the question. What is it? Well, that's what our research and that's what other people's research have shown. Turns out, we have a capacity to metabolize a certain number of calories, and it depends on which organs are metabolizing them. As it turns out, the sweet molecule in sugar, called fructose, is only metabolized in the liver. It has a limited capacity to do so. If you overwhelm that limited capacity, then the liver has no choice but to take the extra energy and turn it into liver fat. And it's now been shown that the generation of liver fat is the single inciting factor behind most, if not all, of these chronic metabolic diseases. So making your liver have to work overtime to try to metabolize more sugar than your liver is capable of doing is the driver of these chronic metabolic diseases. And the sad part is that virtually one half of the sugar you consume is in foods you didn't even know had it. They weren't a choice. They were processed foods, and you didn't know that's what you were doing. So it's really easy to go over your limit.
So what's an example of a food like that that we eat and we think, hey, we're doing okay eating this food, but surprise, there's a lot of sugar in it?
The big one, yogurt.
Yogurt.
Everyone thinks yogurt is healthy. I am here to tell you that in America, yogurt is not healthy. Okay, in Europe, yogurt is healthy because it's plain yogurt. And, I mean, what is yogurt? It's sour milk, right? The only difference between yogurt and the milk that sours in your refrigerator is that for yogurt, you get to choose the bacteria that does the souring. Okay? Everywhere else, yogurt is yogurt. And what you do is, to cut the sourness, you add some whole fruit to it. Well, not in America. In America, yogurt is sweet. Yogurt is dessert, right? It's called frozen yogurt. And that's on purpose. So let's take a look at a package of plain yogurt. 7 grams of sugar, all milk sugar or lactose. No problem. Now let's look at a package of pomegranate yogurt. 19 grams of sugar. So that means 12 grams of sugar have been added to that pomegranate yogurt to basically cut the sourness. Bottom line, when you eat a pomegranate yogurt, you are eating a plain yogurt plus a bowl of Cap'n Crunch. Question is that okay?
When you put it that way, it's
no,
a lousy feeling.
It ain't okay. Yeah. It ain't okay at all. But yet it's sold as a health food. And people think they're eating healthy, and they're not.
Well, now you've published this cookbook with a chef to help us get around the sugar landmines you're talking about at the grocery store. And I understand you've got a favorite recipe here that the two of you put in the book, a polenta patties. Can you tell us about those and why that's a favorite of yours?
Sure. Number one, it's a brunch dish. It's a it's for weekends. It's not for weekdays because it does require a little bit of extra preparation. Every recipe, by the way, in the book has been vetted by a Mount Diablo high school student to be prepared, consumed, and delicious within a school period. This book was specifically written to get kids to cook, because we can't solve this problem, this obesity metabolic syndrome epidemic in America, until kids know how to cook. And one-third of America today does not know how to cook. So it's really important to be able to do that. That's what this book is for. But the reason polenta patties, that recipe works, is because, number one, it's unrefined carbohydrate. And number two, they're vegetables. It's vegetables for breakfast. Number three, it's high-quality protein in the poached eggs. Eggs have the highest quality protein of any protein source on the planet. And number four, it's downright delicious. and it doesn't take all that much time. And nobody turns their thumb up at this. This is a solid, rational, appropriate brunch dish. Good for you and tastes delicious and is not that hard to make.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert Lustig about his new cookbook, The Fat Chance Cookbook.
And that's just one sampling of the many, many recipes that are in there. There are sauces and salad dressings and brunch dishes and legumes and beans and all kinds of things. There are sandwiches to get you going in the Fat Chance Cookbook. We'll be talking with him again shortly.
And it is our winter membership drive. Gene Purcell is here in the studio with me. And if you make your pledge during this hour of $10 or more, that's $120 throughout the course of the year, ask for your copy of The Fat Chance Cookbook by Dr. Lustig and Chef Cindy Gershon. Lots and lots of recipes, everything from meals to things to replace some of the things that he says have a lot of sugar when you buy them at the store. Simple things like condiments, ranch dressing, a whole lot of other things. Make your pledge now. Support great public radio. And get your copy for $10 a month or more of the Fat Chance Cookbook. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, by all means, make your calls right now. We do like to thank some of the folks who called last hour. We heard from 22 new and returning members to Wisconsin Public Radio. And thanks to all of you for making those pledges of support. We've got a brand new hour and a brand new goal right now. 30 pledges by 5 o'clock is where we need to be. And we set up the goals to make sure that WPR has the money that we need to pay for the programs like Central Time that you rely on. So help us make that goal. help make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that stopped you in your tracks? Something like Dr. Lustig saying, yogurt, not a health food. Something that made you change the way you think about the world. We strive every day for programs that open your eyes, engage your brain, maybe challenge things that you think. Programs that affect your life. This kind of radio only happens with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it does happen with your financial support, and we know that you give to Wisconsin Public Radio because you want to support the programs. You want to hear more of what we have to offer. But as an added incentive for this hour, we've got something special for you right now. It is the Fat Chance Cookbook, and it's yours, as Rob said, when you give $120 or more. That's just $10 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist, and if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small-scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Gene Purcell asking for your support of Central Time, of the Ideas Network, and of Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you count on things like quality information, great entertainment, and lively discussion. And in fact, you make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and by being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your donation of $10 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. And when you pledge $10 a month or more, ask for your copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook by our guest, Dr. Robert Lustig. He's on a mission to get us to eat less sugar, less processed food. He's got a lot of recipes in here to help us do that. Ask for your copy with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in addition to great radio, we know that you expect more. So, for example, we know that you expect things like online streaming, podcasts, and a useful website at WPR.org. Wisconsin Public Radio meets all of those expectations.
But they're not free.
No,
they're
not.
They require investments in technology and engineering. Your donation right now keeps WPR relevant in a changing world. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's really easy to make a pledge. Giving takes just a few minutes of your time. We just need a few things. We'll need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and then how you'd like to pay. And you can give in one lump sum, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. But no matter how you choose to give or how much you care to give, please use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And pledge $10 a month or more, get your copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook. A lot of delicious sounding stuff. Stuffed bell peppers, quinoa chili, carrot cake, a dessert, chocolate ganache without the cake. A lot of amazing recipes aimed at having less sugar, less of those carbohydrates we don't want to eat. What do you call them? Simple carbohydrates. Couldn't think of the word there. Ask for your copy with a pledge of $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back with Dr. Robert Lustig, author of Fat Chance, which describes how processed foods and the sugars added to them have taken a toll on American health. We're discussing his new Fat Chance cookbook with advice on how to avoid sugars and simple carbs. Lots of recipes in the book.
A reminder, we'll be giving away a copy of his cookbook as a thank you gift for your pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org. And Dr. Lustig, I want to ask you, when people adopt the dietary suggestions that you recommend, when they eat the sorts of recipes that your cookbook is filled with, what kind of health changes do they see?
The first thing they see almost across the board, and unfortunately it's all anecdotal because we don't have a way of quantifying it, is that they all say that they feel like they have more energy, that they just have more, a higher quality of life, they're more focused, they tend to be able to concentrate better, and they also seem to have a little bit more energy to go exercise. And there's reasons why that would be true. We have shown in scientific studies not related to the cookbook that when we get insulin down, instead of storing energy, you have it available to burn. And so you want to exercise. So we've actually shown that the biochemistry precedes the behavior. And when you fix the biochemistry, the behavior gets better of its own volition. So when we get the insulin down, and that's what this whole cookbook is about, by reducing refined carbohydrate and sugar, when we get insulin down, people feel better. People want to exercise. People start exercising spontaneously. And people write me all the time saying that they experience these very significant changes in how they feel. And once they experience that, they really don't want to go back.
I've mentioned a couple times one of your recipes in the book is for ranch dressing. You've also got barbecue sauces and things like that. How much sugar do we knock out of our diets when we make our own condiments instead of getting them off the shelf at stores?
Oh, we get rid of a whole bunch, let me tell you. Here's what you need to know. One-third of the dietary sugar that we are consuming is in soft drinks. They're identifiable. One-sixth of the sugar that we're consuming is in things like candy, ice cream, you know, desserts, things that you would identify as dessert. That means fully one-half of the added sugar in your diet is in things you didn't know had sugar, including things like bread, hamburger buns, hamburger meat, all sorts of places that you didn't know had it. And those are the places where it's really important to try to get rid of it. The American Heart Association says we should be consuming 6 to 9 teaspoons of added sugar per day, 6 for women, 9 for men as a maximum. Our current sugar consumption is 22 teaspoons per day. So they're telling us we need to reduce our consumption by 2/3 to 3/4. So if you just got rid of the sodas and the desserts, which I'm not suggesting you do, but let's say you did, you'd still be over your limit. And that's the problem. So we need a clean diet. We need a diet that is not filled with added sugars, that are put there specifically by the food industry for their own purposes. And unfortunately, until they alter their recipes, until they start, you know, providing what people want rather than, what they want, we're not going to be able to fix that. So people have to do it for themselves, and that's the purpose of the cookbook.
Now, there are the sneaky sugars, the ones you don't know are in there, and then there are things that are pretty obvious, like desserts. You talked about ice cream, things like cake, cobbler, and a lot of people will say that's a sticking point. They don't want to live in a world where they can't eat anything sweet, and yet in your cookbook you have pages of recipes for desserts.
Course.
How does that work?
That's very simple. I'm not a food Nazi, and neither is Cindy. The point is that dessert used to be once a week. And if dessert were once a week, it would be perfectly fine. There is no reason not to reward yourself once a week. It's perfectly fine. The problem is that with our current industrial global diet, dessert is once a meal. And that's the problem. Perfect example. The National School Breakfast Program. 25% of children today eat breakfast at school. And do you know what the National School Breakfast Program's standard breakfast is? It's a bowl of Fruit Loops and a glass of orange juice. And that's 11 teaspoons of added sugar per day. It's 6 for women, 9 for men as a maximum, and 4 for children. So those kids are already almost triple over their limit, and it's only breakfast. Now, you think that's okay? This is what the problem is. We need to be appropriate, and we are not being appropriate. And the reason is because the processed food industry has decided what we're going to eat for us. You know, people talk about the concept of personal responsibility, that you get to choose whatever you put in your mouth. Excuse me, but the food industry has already chosen for you because that's what's available. Of the 600,000 food items that are available in the American grocery store, 80% of them are spiked with added sugar, and that's by the food industry for its own purposes, not for yours. So the libertarians say, wait a second, don't tell me what to put in my mouth. Excuse me, you've already been told what to put in your mouth by the food industry. Where were you 40 years ago when the entire food landscape changed under your feet? Were you complaining then?
Quick reminder that you can get your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. That's what we're talking about, with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dr. Lustig, we've talked about a lot about what not to eat. You have a tutorial on grains, whole grains, in your book. What are some things that we're not eating that we're going to enjoy and that'll take the place of that the sugary stuff we're cutting out?
Okay. Anything that's brown. Okay, so beans, lentils, brown rice, nuts, other legumes, quinoa, farro. These are all things that we used to eat and currently don't. We need to get back to them. Each one of those is fiber-containing, and it's the fiber that mitigates the negative effects of carbohydrate on insulin release and insulin secretion. So when you consume food with its inherent fiber, you basically mitigate the negative effects of those foods. So you can have carbohydrate. It's not that you can't, but you have to have unrefined carbohydrate the way nature made it, as opposed to refined carbohydrate the way the food industry made it. That's the big difference. And so there's a tutorial on grains specifically so people know what the difference is. Example, whole grain bread. Anybody know what whole grain bread is?
It's got to have a high fiber content, right?
No, I don't know what whole grain bread is because there's no definition of whole grain bread. The FDA does not supply a definition of what they mean by whole grain. Do they mean that it's still whole grain when it's baked and cooked? Or could you start with whole grain, pulverize it to smithereens, then bake or cook with it? It started with whole grain, so it must still be whole grain, right? Well, once you destroy the integrity of the kernel, the grain itself, the little sphere, it ain't whole grain anymore.
That's Dr. Robert Lustig. Thanks to him for joining us, pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco.
And a reminder, we'll be giving away a copy of his cookbook with any pledge of $10 a month or more during this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll send you a thank you gift of the Fat Chance Cookbook.
Lots of great practical advice in there. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.